Okay. When listing the 15 donations to the Mishkan, went through all 15 of them. The last two are the Avnei Shoam and the Avnei Miluin. Rashi surprisingly says that there weren't 15 donations, there were 13. And there's a question of what Rashi means by that. Does he mean to exclude the last two? Does he mean to exclude the Shemen and the Besamim? Does he consider Zav, Kesef, and Achoshes all as one? But the last two mentioned are Avnei Shoam and Avnei Miluin, the onyx stones and the stones of the settings put in the Choshen, which were by far the most expensive donations of the Beis HaMikdash. If you think about it, the size of these stones, which would have been at least 10 carats, probably a little bit more than that, but to have a diamond that's 10 carats, just a diamond that's 10 carats, is probably worth more than everything else the people donate combined. And then let alone, you have all of these, you have the ruby and the emerald and the crystal and everything else that people donated, all together to have all these stones, by far this is the most expensive gift. And the onyx stones that they put on top, these huge black onyx stones that they used to combine, to connect the Choshen to the ephod in the back. I mean, how expensive was that? So why are they last? The Avnei Shoam, the Avnei Miluim should have been the first things mentioned. They're the most chashuv. You should start off Avnei Shoam, Avnei Miluim, Zav, Vakesef, and Achoshes. And clearly there's an order in going from top to bottom if it's Zav, Vakesef, and Achoshes. If gold is first and then silver and then copper, it's clearly in Chashivus. So why would Avnei Shoam and Avnei Miluim be last? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh gives two answers to this question. And both answers have lessons for us. And I realize something. I know this is going to be a higher level answer. Typically speaking, my shmuzin are sort of speaking to all levels at once. I kind of had a feeling that it would be the better guys who are at this one. So this is going to be on a higher level than I'm normally asking of you, but this is what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says. It says the Nesiim delayed. The first answer he gives is the Nesiim delayed giving any donations until everybody else brought. They said, whatever's left over from what the Jews don't bring, we'll bring ourselves. We're willing to give it. But we're willing to give after everybody else did. So what's the problem with that? Let's think of this. The problem is that they didn't give first. They had unbelievably noble intentions. They said, we're worried that the Jews are not going to give enough stuff. They're probably not going to give everything. We will fill everything they don't do. It could be $100,000 each, but they're willing to pay $100,000 each. He said, let's see what everybody else does. We'll make sure it's taken care of. If anybody would say that to me nowadays, I have a budget of $5 million. What can you donate? And the guy says, go collect from anybody you want. Whatever you don't get, I'll give you at the end. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. That guy's the guy that I want. The Nesiim did exactly that. Why is that considered a bad thing? What did they do wrong when it came to how they were trying to give it over here? And by the way, that's exactly what happened. The Jews brought everything, right? But they didn't bring everything. They were missing 14 things. What were they missing in the donations? The Avnei Miluim and the Avnei Shoham, which were by far the most expensive things and were the value of everything else plus. And what did the Nesiim do? They brought it. I mean, we have this theory, this thing that we have in our heads that the Nesiim, right, were down. They lost their yud because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But they did. They said, whatever the Jews are missing, we'll give. And they gave the most amazing things of all time. We're not going with the medrash that the Nesiim got all the gemstones dropped up at their front doorstep. This is a huge amount of money. They went out to the merchants around them and said, we need a diamond this big. Can you get us a diamond that big? And they paid the money for it. They were willing to put out the money for it. Bnei Yisrael didn't do that. That was the Nesiim. So what's wrong, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh? What was the issue with what the Nesiim did? What was wrong with what they did? And the answer is that a person is chayiv to be moser nefesh. Now, when it boils down to it, and this is the issue by most people, everyone will do their utmost to survive. And being moser nefesh, up to a point, is sort of, I want to be moser nefesh, but I like myself a lot. And when it comes to Mesiras Nefesh, you might say that you're willing to give up your life for something, but until this situation comes up in front of your eyes, you have it right there in front of you, it's very, very difficult to actually believe that you're going to put yourself in line. So I'm asking this akasha for all of us. Every day in the morning, by Kriya Shema, you have five chiyuvim to think of when you're saying Kriya Shema. One of them is that I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh. Is that a lie? Are we really willing to give up our lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? An Arab guy comes in here right now with a gun and he says, I want you to believe, say out loud that you believe in Allah, and it's not necessarily Avodah Zarah. Say out loud that you believe in my God and Allah, or else I'll shoot you. Let's just say, it's something different from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Believe in Islam? You're going to believe in Islam or I'm going to shoot you. Are you going to do it? I know our answer is yes, of course I'm going to do it. When it boils down to it, are you really ready to do it? And unfortunately, there are many people that's not. They're not ready to do it. We just haven't had the opportunity to rise. We've seen people rise to the occasion in the Holocaust, and we've seen other people that did not, that weren't able to do it. And this is not a blame. This is not a blame game in which I'm saying like, oh, that's terrible. How could you not? Again, I've never had it in front of me. I think about it every single day, twice a day, three times a day technically, Kriya Shema Lamita. But I can't tell you that I am there, that I know as soon as it happens, I'm going to be Moser Nefesh along with everything else. But I will tell you one thing. One thing I know is, if a guy comes up, a shooter, an assailant, comes up, and I'm with my wife and kids, I'm sitting there with my wife and kids, and the guy comes up, you better believe I am going to put my arms and my body around my wife and kids in front of the shooter to make sure they don't get hit. What's the difference? Why am I willing to die there? And this is not, this is my, I have no question about that. The answer is simple. I love my wife and kids so much that I would be willing to sacrifice my life for them. I'm willing to step in front of a bullet so that my wife and kids don't have it. I can daven, and I mean this, and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if my kid is sick or if my wife is sick or if my wife, whatever it is, I'll say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me take it instead of them. And I'm willing to do that. Because if you love someone, then you're willing to put your life on the line for them. If you truly love them, if you really do love them, I don't mean in a v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha sense, but I shouldn't take that lightly either. But a true love means you are willing to be moser nefesh for that other person. And for that reason, mesiras nefesh is learned out from the pasuk of v'ahavta is Hashem Elokecha. B'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'odecha. That you give up your life for a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes from v'ahavta. How do you find yourself able to be moser nefesh for a Kadosh Baruch Hu? By loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you loved Hashem, and again, this is a truth. If you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way you love whoever it is that you would be willing to die for, if you loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that sense, then you'd be willing to be Moser Nefesh for him. You'd be willing to put yourself in front of a bullet in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's what Mesiras Nefesh is. Pure love will send that to be your ability to be able to stand and be there for it. And in that, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, here was the issue with the Nesiim. Were they willing to give all the money in the world? Yes, they were willing to give anything that they needed for the Mishkan. And that's true, that's amazing. But when a person is being Moser Nefesh, when a person truly loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they want to be the first one in. If my child needs something, I want to be the first one to give him whatever he needs. I don't want to be the last one and say, son, go somewhere else. See if you can get what you need. If you don't have it, then I'll give you after that. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that's first. It's my kid. My kid needs it. Why do I want to be last? I want to be first. There's nothing wrong with what they did per se. I would expect that out of a great man like the Nesiim. The great men like the Nesiim were willing to give billions and billions of dollars to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's great. But what they should have done is jumped up first and said, we're first, here, put millions of dollars on the table, millions on the table, and then say, and if you need more, we got more for you as well. That's what they should have done. They didn't do that. They waited till the end. And that just shows a lack of ability to be Moser Nefesh. Shows a little bit felt that their cheshbonos took over for a second. Here's what it was. They wanted to give the money, and then the cheshbonos came in. Their thought process was like, wait, wouldn't it be better if I gave it at the end? Because then there's a chance that I don't have to give as much. If I give it at first, then who knows? I might have to give millions. If you give it at the end, maybe I'll only have to give $100,000. The cheshbonos came in. Once those cheshbonos came in, it delayed them a bit. It delayed what they were going to do. That's not being Moser Nefesh. And it's the same thing. I want to give up my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it boils down to it, the cheshbonos come in. I start thinking, maybe this isn't what God wants from me right now. Maybe God wants something different. When you love someone, there's no cheshbonos. There's no thought process. The guy is there with a gun. You jump in front. You jump in front. There's no cheshbonos. But I'm going to die. Oh, but maybe my life is worth more than my kid's life. No, you don't think. You jump in front. The Nesiim not jumping in front was something completely different. What's the sign of Mesiras Nefesh? There's a Gemara in Brachos. You all know this Gemara. It's Brachos Chaf on the Beis. Ravada Barava. You have to know something over here. The Gemara gives this as an example. It says, the Rishonim, the first people, the people that used to live back in the day, they knew how to be Moser not Nefesh for a Kiddush Hashem. They knew what to do to be Moser Nefesh for a Kiddush Hashem. What's the example? Ravada Barava. Ravada Barava is walking in the Shuk, and he sees a woman wearing an inappropriate red dress, a karbalosa, some type of red dress that she was wearing that was inappropriate. So what does he do? What does he do? He runs up to her and tears it off her. Tears it off her. Right? Finds out later on, she's not Jewish. She's not Jewish. Right? She was a kusis. Whether that's a real kusis or a not Jewish person altogether. Right? He thought she was Jewish. She's not. So he went up to her and said, how much? I said, your name is Masa. And he gave 400 zuz. 400 zuz. So we see they were willing to be Moser Nefesh for a Kiddush Hashem. Tell me, where was the Mesiras Nefesh? What was the Mesiras Nefesh? That he lost 400 zuz? He thought she was Jewish. If she was Jewish, would he have paid her the 400 zuz for her embarrassment? No. So if he wouldn't have paid her for the embarrassment, where's the Mesiras Nefesh? He thought he was going to do something, tear it off her, and he'd embarrass her publicly, said she'd go back and she wouldn't wear that ever again. What mysterious nefesh is there? He's not losing anything. He's not losing money. He's not losing anything at all. What's the problem? Why wouldn't he do this? In fact, if a great rabbi wouldn't do this, wouldn't that be the wrong thing to do? He should do this in order to make sure that she's never going to wear it again. Let's assume that she's not totally, you know, undressed, that she has clothing on underneath. So we take away the complete busha part. But isn't that something that you expect to do? What's the mysterious nefesh? The idea is not that he thought he was going to lose out on something. It's not that. It's that when you love someone, and Rav Ada Barava loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, when you love someone, you're willing to fight anyone or anything that does something against what Hashem wants immediately. It's not about what he thought he was going to lose. It's that he got up, he had no cheshbonos. Of course there were cheshbonos. He should have sat there for a second, like, wait, maybe she's not Jewish. Wait a second, maybe that's going to embarrass her more. Wait a second, this might not be the right thing. Maybe I'm not making a Kiddush Hashem. There was nothing. When he saw that lady doing something that was inappropriate, he jumped up and said, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Leman Shein Shamayim, I'm doing this, and he tore it off her, even though he didn't know what the results were going to be. And it didn't matter. Jumping up and doing something without cheshbonos is pure Mesiras Nefesh. Doing what you need to do without considering the ramifications are pure Mesiras Nefesh. Again, in the right way, knowing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do in that situation. That can lead to difficult things, but that's Mesiras. Mesiras Nefesh is doing things without cheshbonos. You do it because that's what you're supposed to do. We get up and we saddle our donkey and we go and we do an Akedas Yitzchak without thinking of, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't mean that. Lalo Salahar, do you really think that means to bring up as a korban? Maybe it means just to bring him up the mountain. No, we get up, we saddle our donkey, we don't make anybody else do it, we do it ourselves, and we run to go do Akedas Yitzchak. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's what Mesiras Nefesh means. The Nesiim, they were awesome. The Nesiim were the greatest men of the time. The greatest men. They were able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in last week's Parsha, so to speak. They saw things that no one else will ever see. But these Nesiim were missing one thing. And the one thing was, they weren't first. They weren't Moser Nefesh the way we expected them to. For us to be Moser Nefesh, that means to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu without thinking about it. Without thinking. That's the idea of what it stands for. Answer number two. Lora Chaim HaKadosh says that the stones came to the Nesiim without working for them. They didn't work for it. This Medrash says that the Nesiim were also the clouds, and the clouds brought down these gemstones. It rained down in the mun. When they picked up the mun in the morning outside of their doors, they picked up the mun, and in the mun there was gemstones. There was a ruby in one, and an emerald in the other, and a diamond in the other, and each one of them was something amazing. They saw the mun, and they saw the gemstone in it, and they got it. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, when you do something without a melus, when you didn't work hard, and you got something without trying for it, it means nothing to you. It means nothing. It just doesn't mean as much. Now, this is also a great mile of the Nesiim. The Nisim saw the mun and they got a gemstone in it. The first thing that you would think if you found a gemstone in the mun is not, I bet I can donate this to a base of Medrash. That's not the first thing you're going to say. First thing you're going to say is, I just won the lottery. I'm going to go buy a massive mansion. I'm going to go buy a self-driving Tesla. That's the first thing you say. The first thought is about you. The Nisim, they found this diamond, and the first thing they said was not, wow, my wife is going to be so happy. The first thought they said was, oh, we can donate this to the Choshen. That is an unreal milah. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them a gem, and I want you to think about this. They didn't know it was for the Mishkan. How would they know it's for the Mishkan? Where did they get that from? They thought they found an unbelievable gemstone. And they donated it straight to the base of Mikdash without taking it to the Mishkan, without them taking a single penny. That's an amazing, amazing milah. But the donations to the Mishkan have to be different. The donations have to be nidvas libo. It has to be something that you felt, you feel like there's something there. There was a guy who was not zocher to have children for a while. And he came to me and he asked me, who should he go to? What should he do? And I told him to go to this certain Rav. And the Rav told him, listen, you have to do something that's going to be really, really hard for you to do. He was a wealthy man. And he told him, you're going to have to give tzedakah an amount that will actually hurt you. If you actually hurt yourself, you have to be moser nefesh a little bit, you have to give of yourself a little bit. If you do that, that's what's going to help. Giving, you know, $10,000 for that guy wouldn't hurt him. It would take out of his savings, and it would be, you know, it's... But you have to have something that your daily life will change because of it. Now, I didn't check up on that guy. I didn't want to ask. I don't know if he did it or not. I have absolutely no idea. I mean, that wasn't my point over there. He went to him, and that's that. But to give up the money that you worked so hard for, to give something you had, the rest of Bnei Yisrael, yeah, they got it from the Mitzrayim. But do you know what that was like? Do you know what it was like for them to force themselves to ask the Egyptians to give them something? To go to their master's doorsteps and say, please give me money, we're leaving now, we need money. That took a lot out of them. Do you think you'd be able to do that to your neighbors? Do you think you would be able to, you were sitting there, like I have my neighbors that are by me. You think I'd be able to knock on their doors and say, hey, can I have some money before I go to Eretz Yisrael? I'm leaving you now. Do you mind if I have some money before I go? And that's, they're not my masters, right? They're not like that. To your master, to your Adam, you're going to ask for something from them. You're a slave. You're going to be able to do that. It took a lot out of them. They pushed themselves to do it. And the money, they got it in their hands. They felt like it was theirs. To give that up took something. That's mentioned first. The gold they gave up, the silver they gave up, the copper they gave up, the rest of the people that they worked for, that they felt was theirs, that's something different. The Nisim, to give up something that came to them for free, that came to them out of Melus, that's something that's different. We know what a melus is. We know that Bechu Kosai says in Bechu Kosai Teilechu Imatom Amelim Batoiro, if you're able to be Amel Batoiro. But we're losing the concept of what that means within our learning. What does that mean within us? How do you work to be able to get in there? And every year around Shavuos time, I give a shir that deals with, a shmuz that deals specifically with Amelus Batoiro and how to be able to go through. But it means you're willing to spend your time and effort to do this, to learn it properly, to get it inside your head. If you love it more, if you want it more, it makes you want to fight for it, for you to feel like it's your own. So you feel like you can't give this up. The point where you cannot say to somebody else, oh, okay, maybe if you don't think my pshat is good, that's okay. You say like, no, this is my pshat. When a person feels it, when a person gets into it, then their Torah is something that's worthy by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It might only be a quarter of a shekel of a gold coin. I was sitting there wondering to myself, there's 301,775 shkalim of silver that were given to the Mishkan because each Jew gave a half a shekel. That's all they gave, half a shekel. Yeah, there were three donations of silver. There was another half shekel and then another stam donation. But 301,775. Does anybody know how many pieces of gold there were? Anybody know? Around 70,000 shekels of gold. You know what that means? Everybody gave a sixth of a shekel. That's what they gave. 1/6 of a shekel of gold. That's all they gave. They didn't give that much. It shocks me. It shocks me how little gold there was, if we have the shekels correct. It shocks me how little there was. And maybe we're only counting the gold that was used in the Mishkan. Maybe there were reserves that they had behind them. But it shocks me. But at the end of the day, it meant something, even if it was just a tiny little bit in comparison to a huge gemstone that each Nasi brought. It meant something to them. It meant something. It's my gold coin. And they gave it up. They gave it up willingly to the Mishkan. Kadosh Baruch Hu values that gold, that silver, that copper. Copper is cheap as anything. The copper that they donated was more chashuv than the gemstones because they worked hard for it and they felt it was theirs and yet they still gave it up. The Nesi'im just got the gemstones and gave it right over. It's an amazing, amazing idea. So there's two ideas, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. What's the pshat? Why the Avnei Shom and the Avnei Mulim back? Because either, number one, they weren't Moser Nefesh for it. They didn't jump to do it the way you would if you truly loved someone, if you really had that mysterious Nefesh. And number two, because in order to make a true donation to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, one has to feel it, has to have the amelus for it, has to really have that inside his head, I worked for this and want to give it up. And that didn't happen by the Nesi'im. It goes by our Torah, it goes by everything we have. Where's our mysterious Nefesh? Where's our amelus? What do we want? What do we want to do? When a person works hard, when a person feels that way, when a person loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything's different. Life becomes a little bit different. Have a good week, everyone.